Father, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you for your blessings of being here today, allowing us to be alive, to enjoy the community, to enjoy all together here, the fellowship, the church, the relationship, which is going to be through us in reflection to you. So thank you for that. Thank you for all the blessings, provisions, health. Thank you. All the glory is yours. So we are here to worship you, to praise you, to declare your name high, the most high, all over the place in everything that we are doing. So today we just want to do that, like every single second of our life that we are breathing. So we ask you with a humble heart to be you speaking to the church, not me. I want to ask you, Father God, to please remove all my own understanding, my own things that I have in my mind or flesh, and remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. And be you speaking to the church. Be you talking to the church. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. So today we're going to start talking a new topic or series that God put in my heart, and always I praise God for the confirmations. He always kind of like confirm. I always try to wait for him to confirm things in the life. I don't want to try to go by my own desires or flesh or whatever I want to talk about the church, because I'm seeing this happening in the church or anything like that, or maybe any other topics. I like him to confirm. So he confirmed this like already, I think, three times. Two times during the week, and I think one today when Chris was doing the gift presentation, because he was talking about servant. And we're talking to about servant today, and I want to talk about the whole series about lead like Jesus. That's the name of the new series that we want to talk about, lead like Jesus. And please, don't get me wrong. I'm not here to scream and say, please come over here and help the church. Yes, we need help. We need helpers. We need greeters. We need people back there in the sound booth. We need people in every area. We know that. But this learning that we're doing today is going to be you and God, between you and God. Not me asking you, we need helpers. But we need it anyway, just so you know. Okay? So whatever God is putting in your heart that you feel passionate, that you feel like, I feel like God is leading me through this ministry, this help, this area, please come over. Let's talk about it. And let's see how you can bless the church, bless God through that service. Amen? Amen. So I want to open this series with this verse. And this verse, it is in Psalm 119, 176. And this one, I hope, is going to open our eyes to understand more what God is trying to bring to us. And it is, I have gone astray, like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So the psalm is written in a way saying, I gone astray. And anyway, I still have that heart of a sheep. I know that heart of a sheep is kind of like the heart of a servant that we need to have. Now, Jesus Christ, he came here showing him that he's the king. And that's kind of like contradictory a little bit with our mentality over here on the earth. A king is a king, not a servant. A servant is a servant. But the real king and Jesus Christ, which is the only one, he teach us how to be a real king, or how to be or have a real heart of a servant any way you have that title or role as a king. Jesus Christ left those things for us in the scripture, but always never forget too that we need to have that heart of a servant, because the real king is serving someone else. And that's why he always teach and talk about that he didn't come to the earth to be served, but to serve. Anyway, he is the king. And that's the teaching that he's leaving to us, and that's the teaching that we like to learn to apply in our life so we can open the heavens in our favor. So lead like Jesus is the teaching that we like to start. And today we're just going to start with under the topic servant mentality, because the servant mentality will help us to get to that level. Also in Isaiah 53:6 it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Sorry, I'm going to have a trouble with that one. So each of us has turned to our own way. And that's one of the things that we need to understand, because the way that is getting us out of that flock from God and be lost is because we are looking our own ways. We are looking our own path. And that's what is taking us out of that protection from God, provision from God, which is the responsibility and role of the shepherd. And we know that Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and we the sheep. But if we turn away and start looking from our own path and our own ways, then we are getting out of the track of the purpose and will of God in our life. And normally, the sheep mentality is that. It is when it's not it's seeing distractions, seeing another pastures, another green areas over there, or seeing another stuff manifestations over there, they're going to start like going or leaning that way. Because they're looking their own things. Know what God is intended to do through them in that place that they are putting them. I'm not talking just church. I'm talking also about work. I'm talking about business. I'm talking about as a father, as a son, maybe as a husband, wife, daughter, name it, everything, neighbor. That role and responsibility that God gave you, that is his will in you. And when we want to do our own things, then we are getting out of the track. And that's normally because the sheep is seeing other things that for our own flesh and desires are removing that purpose of God or of their hearts and life, and they're going by their own or leaning by their own understandings. Things that we learn about the sheep going out of the track, it is lack of homing instinct. They don't know how to go back home. Distractions, like looking for another pastures, or maybe another path, or maybe another flock that over there is better. That maybe other flock is going to be more awesome, or maybe, I don't know, what they're seeing over there that is to supply the needs of the flesh. And that's the part that we need to be careful, because maybe you are out of the goal or will of God or purpose of God in your life. The stress and fear is another thing that is going to create some noises or some changes in the sheep. Also, the thing that we need to understand is that they have a poor navigation. They cannot come back home. They don't know where they're going. They need someone to protect them, to cover them, to provide them, which is the shepherd. And as you know, in the whole Bible is talking about we as a representation of a sheep, having that heart, having that mind, because we need that. We need God. Otherwise, we are just walking lost in the wilderness without any track or guidance from anything or anyone. We need God in our life. And today, in this teaching, my goal and my purpose, it is to give the glory to him all the time, to glorify him, to say why he needs to be our God and why he needs to be my provider, why he needs to have that title, that role in my heart, in my life, in every second of everything that I'm doing. Never forgetting him, never taking him a little bit to the side and say, give me just 5 minutes to supply my flesh needs and do this because I want to do this. And then we will go back. No, every single second, every single moment, every single conversation is always leading to give him the glory that he deserves. The sheep also needs that shepherd role, which is finding the protection, finding the lost, and also the guidance. So now when we look the point of view as a servant inside of that sheep heart, we need to understand that here in the world, we see different contexts about that. We can see the servant is a slave. But now the slave is a person that is out of his will, taking control of the life of that person, and now you're using it to supply your needs. Now, a servant that is really willing from his heart, that's a servant. That's a person that he like to serve, that he like to help that person, to provide and supply the needs of another person. It doesn't have to be a king. It doesn't have to be an owner of a company. It doesn't have to be a president. It's just that you are serving another person that has some needs. And that's the heart of a servant, the heart that we are learning and we will continue to be learning from Jesus Christ in our life. Right now in the present, we can see that kind of the definition or context, but then really spiritually, what God wants us to have is to acknowledge that Jesus Christ leave you as that role of a king, a high priest, according to scripture, but with the heart of a servant, serving others, not just sitting in the back over there and say, hey, clean me the house, or clean this and do this and do that, do this for me. No, it's helping each other, serving each other. That's the purpose of this. And that will bring glory to God because we are serving him. Now, the other context that I want to explain here is to be servant of his word. We know this. Don't be just a listener. Otherwise, it's not doing anything, this word. But apply the word of God. Serve the word of God. Be a servant of what the word of God is telling you. The word of God is his word. Is what he decides and say that we are going to have in this book, and we are reading it, and we believe in it, and then we are trusting in that. We have the confidence, and then we apply it in our life when we are facing things that we need to face. And that will bring that servant heart of the word of God. So we are a servant of his word. We are servant of what he's saying over here that we need to do. Now going through the scripture, this will help us to have the servant leadership that we're looking, that we're learning today. Having empathy, humility, empowers and inspires and embraces the stewardship that we have from him in our heart, in our life. When we learn more about this definition in Hebrew, servant, it means work, serve, plow, or cultivate. It means servant. And there's a person in the Bible that I want to share with you guys today that I think it brings a lot of knowledge about this. And I want to go first to Daniel 4. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4. I'm not going to read everything, and I may be going to pronounce this name wrong, so please. With the humble heart, I'm going to ask respectfully to the church and to the people that are watching me online. If I'm the cousin or brother of this king, I will call him Nebu. Are you guys allowing me to call him Nebu today? Thank you. Jeanette, say no. Yeah, because otherwise it's going to be Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you. Otherwise, I prefer to say King Nebu. Hallelujah. So we will see and learn more about this king, because this king, in the whole scripture, we will see that God is using him and call him my servant. He's from Babylonia. He's from another people, from another town, from this king capture his people, the Judah town, or the people from Judah, which is the people from God. They capture them and bring them to Babylon. And anyway, God called him my servant. I'm going to show you, not me. So let's go really quick to Daniel chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, King Nebu, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all earth. That means you and me right now. Anyway, this is for everyone. May you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. He's worshiping God right now. He's praising God right now. He's just establishing over here, this is the Creator, this is the God. There's nothing else above or no one, nothing above or below him. It's just him. He's acknowledging this. This is a king. Now, let's go really quick to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 2, he says, concerning Egypt, this is the message against the army of Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, which was defeated at Carchemish on the Euphrates River by King Nebu of Babylon in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. I hope that makes sense what I say. So what I'm trying to show you over here with this is the part when King Nebu captured Judah. And this is because God is talking to Judah and say, Judah, the people of Israel, the people of God, you're not following my decrees. You're not following me. I'm going to get you captive 70 years. And that's what God is doing through this king right now. Again, keep in mind, he's not an Israelite. Jeremiah, let's go to 25a. 25a. And this one, 25a and 9, he says, therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples. I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant, Nebu, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants, and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. He called him my servant. God doesn't have any distinction. Whatever he wants to do, he's going to do it. Never put any boundaries to him. Never stop him. I'm going to sound repetitive over here, but you know that I always say this. We just need to be careful to limit God just to certain things. You guys already listened to me when I say, sometimes we say, oh, I need to nail on my knees to pray to God, because that's the only way that God is going to listen to me. Or that's the way that this is the only way that God is going to heal these people. Or this is the way that God is manifest over here. With all respect, I will say that's kind of a limiting God just this way, these options, this time, this hour, this location, facing these, or doing this, doing that. For me, God doesn't have any limits. He don't have any restrictions. He can do anything, anywhere, anytime, any hour, any place, any locations, anything, anywhere. All this creation is his. It's not mine. It's not anyone. He can do anything. The King Nebu is not an Israelite, and he say, my servant, I will use my servant king, and I will keep you captive 70 years because you are not following my decrees. Let's continue. Daniel. Going back to Daniel chapter 4, 22. Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Now, the king Nabu, he have a dream, and he saw in this dream, he's a king, and he start with the he start his position, his role as a servant, and he keep having that. He was a commander, and then he started fighting and gaining wars, and he got blessed. He start capturing all these people, and he have a humble heart, but a kind of a little bit, I will say, out of the track because of this reason. But he got the revelation now in this experience. And it was when he was capturing people, he would let the people worship their gods. You can worship your God, you can worship your God, you can worship your God, you can worship your God. So he was that kind of humble servant that he led the people serving their God. Now, until he captured Judah. Because now he's facing the only God, real and creator. And now he's facing him. And the dream that God gave him, it was a dream showing him like a big tree almost touching the sky, and then showing that all the birds and the fruits, that it was from that tree, it was blessing everyone and covering everyone. But an angel or a messenger, it says the scripture, came down and cut that tree. And it says the Bible that he was fear about that. He was scared by that dream. This king for years already, a king that he won already a lot of battles, he was scared about this dream. And when he called Daniel, Daniel revealed to him the meaning of this tree, which at the end he said, you are that tree. You're going to be cut. Because you are letting the servant heart getting out of your heart. And when you are removing the servant heart out of your heart, something have to fill it. That heart is not going to be empty. So you're going to fill it with your flesh, with your desires, with your own path and ways. Like we were talking about the sheep. And you start going other routes and paths. And what happened with this king is that Daniel revealed to him, if you do not repent, you will suffer these 7 years. You will be eating like the animals. A king that already experienced a lot of things. Let's go to 29. It says, 12 months later, after the revelation that he received from Daniel, or the understanding of that dream, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? There's a lot of mine over there. Right? A lot of me. We have to be careful. Because he let his heart of a servant getting out. And now think, I built all this. This is my kingdom. Everything is by me, my majesty. Everything I created, I formed this kingdom. Because you let your heart of servant getting out of your heart. And now you think that you are the one doing and controlling everything when it was not like that. Someone put you over there. Someone give you that protection. Someone give you that victory. Someone that is God is the one that is leading you. Not anyone else, not yourself. Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you. King Nabu, your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebu was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bear. At the end of that time, I, Nebu, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praise the Most High. I honor and glorify him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebu, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. That's what happened to King Nebu. When he acknowledged God, 7 years, a king, victories, commander, servant heart, everything, 7 years, eating like an animal. He lost everything. But then, until he acknowledged, according to scripture, and look up heaven and recognize, all the glories is yours. All the dominions are yours, not mine. That's when God restored him back. That's how he can get his servant heart back. And today I just want to close with 3 points. Based on that last scripture. Number one, now I, Nebu, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven. He's praising and worshiping God. And the first point that he shared over here, it is because everything he does is right. Maybe you and me will say, really? I suffer. I'm eating like an animal. Is that right? What you have done? Like you have the power over him, like you have the control over him. He knows better than us. God works with truth. That's my first point that I want to share with you guys, because everything that he does is right, is correct. Maybe we don't understand it with our own understanding here. Maybe we say, what's going on? But whatever he's doing, it's right, it's true. John 7:16, Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. That's what we need to understand. That we are learning from God. We are learning from his scripture, not from the desires of anyone, not from the understanding of my head or your head or anyone else. That's why we just need to be careful how we are listening out there, people, how we are listening, even me. Read the scripture. Go through the scripture. Learn. Study it. Because God has the truth. He is truth. He's right. Not a human being. It's him. John 7:28 says, then Jesus is still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. God is true. He's the only one that is provide the right message and the right information to our hearts and life. John 8:13, the Pharisees challenge him, saying, here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true. Ouch. That means if Jesus Christ is saying something, I'm not going to say anything. Because he's judging right. But we, when we judge by human standards, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening on the other side. God is the one that knows. Jesus Christ knows, not me. So we're going to let Jesus Christ judge. And when he's judging, he's right. It's true. He's not going to just judge because he wants to. He's going to do it because it's correct. In that moment, he needs to fix that, or he needs to say something. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witnesses is the Father who sent me. Tough. John 8:26. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. What is best than just listen to God? It's nothing better than that. It's true. It's real. It's right. It's right over there. That's what the king, Nebu, he was saying. His judgments are right. He's doing everything right. He did this because he's right. He's trustworthy. I spent these 7 years over here eating as an animal because I removed my servant heart and I let my own pride control everything and guide me. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, you know the rest, but I just want to point it out that one. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, think about such things. What is true? The news? The social media? The novelas? What is true? Jesus Christ is true. God is true. He's the only one. The gossiping at work? What is true? True is God. God is true. He's the one that can provide that truth. And according to the scripture in Philippians 4, it says, think about this, what is true, which is God. The Word is providing you the revelation of his truth. The last scripture that I want to share inside of the truth or trustworthy of God, it is 1 John 5:20. It says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. By being in his son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. That's it. Simple. He's the truth. So let me follow him. Let me think about him. Let me talk about him. Because he's true. There's no lie on him. And I'm going to jump ahead to Numbers really quick. Numbers 23. You guys know this scripture. Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I'm going to get you captive 70 years. And I'm going to use the King Nebu. Who you are to tell me what I need to do. But if you keep the heart of a servant, depending on him, allowing him be your creator, your God, your provider, your protection, your everything in your life, then you don't have to go through that. Then you don't have to go through the 70 years in captivity. I'm not saying you, I'm saying the story about the Israelites. The second point that I want to share with you guys, according to scripture in Daniel 4, 37, when he's saying, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. He's going to do everything with just, with righteousness. And inside of that point, I want to share Deuteronomy 32, 4. It says, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just. Is he. Guys, I'm just glorifying God right now. I'm just praising God with his own words. I'm just saying that he's just, he's trustworthy. That's what we're doing right now today. So that way, allowing the servant heart start over there and continue being over there so we can serve him correctly. Psalm 11:7, for the Lord is righteous, he loves justice. The upright will see his face, as long you are an upright. 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. And 1 John 3:7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you. Help me. Thank you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He's just, and whatever he's gonna do, maybe for you and for me, it's kind of like, that's unfair. Maybe, or maybe we don't understand it. Our only servant heart, it is to praise him, worship him. But it doesn't make sense. Maybe in your own lean understanding, it doesn't make sense. But he knows better than us, and he knows what he's doing. And we, if we are a servant of him, we trust whatever he's doing is right. And according to scripture, he's just, and he's trustworthy. The last point, I'm going to close with this, the third point, according to scripture. King Nebu closed it with this. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. So God humbled the pride. Three things. When King Nebu understood that God is trustworthy, that he's real, that what he's doing is right, that he's just, the pride is getting out of the heart, and the humble heart of a servant comes in again and changes everything. and restore everything back to was where it was. So inside of that last point, God humbled the pride. Leviticus 26:19 says, I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Because when you take control of your life and getting God out of your life, and the pride is a controlling everything, you put in your own heaven. You know that, right? You're putting your own world in you. This is my world that I build. And that's why God, in this revelation in Leviticus 26, he's saying, I'm going to break that. I'm going to break down that sky that you build of pride, and I'm going to also break that floor, that ground beneath you. Because it's nothing, that's not real. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, if pride is in our hearts, be ready because destruction is coming after that. Be ready because the fall is coming after that, according to Scripture. And I believe the Scripture is truth, is real, and it's going to happen. And you know that. You have that experience. Last but not least, Proverbs 12:1. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. Again, in the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. It's God. Doesn't matter. Anyway, you are a king over here on the earth, and you are a king. You are a leader. We need to learn from Jesus Christ how to lead correctly over here on the earth. So whatever he gave you to lead, continue having a servant heart. Don't change that. Continue having a humble heart, serving others, not thinking more than anyone else. God will bless you. God will continue open the doors for you. There's a phrase that I want to share with you guys that many leaders on the earth are encouraged by. And it says, rule with the heart of a servant. Serve with the heart of a king. I'm sorry. So, it's just because every place that God is putting you or allowing you to be or things to receive, never remove God out of the picture, please. He's the one doing that for you. And continue serving others. Please, helping, supporting others. When you are in that, continue doing it with that servant heart and bless other ones with that heart, knowing that God is the one putting you in that place and allowing you to have what you have so that way you can glorify his name. That's the purpose. Yesterday, I was in a Bible study, and by the way, if by any chance anyone is seeing, I want to send blessings to the Church of Church over there in downtown Elburn. We send blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to allowing us to sit down yesterday and learn from you guys. The church is trying to establish connections around here. It doesn't matter denominations, because the point is not that. The point is to establish communications, relationships, connection together, because the church is just one. It's not 3, 4, 5 churches or 10 churches in front of the one and another one. It's supposed to be just one. And we are the church, not a building. So I want to send blessings to them and declare in the name of Jesus Christ that, you know, that God continue establishing that connection and that relationship. But what I learned yesterday was that 3 weeks ago we were talking about the cutting the hand, cutting the food and the eye. And they were talking about that yesterday, because when the disciples were asking Jesus Christ, who's going to be the biggest in the kingdom, in this kingdom or the kingdom of heaven? And that's when Jesus Christ called the children and said, call the children, bring the child over here. Let me show you. And he say, this is going to be, in other words. And then I learned something when I was yesterday over there. God touched my heart. I don't know if I put it over there. It's Mark 9. I don't remember. If it's not there, please go to your Bible. Mark 9. Thank you. 49. Okay, the disciples are asking, who's going to be the biggest? Why you worry about that? Just keep having the servant heart. You need to be like this child. And then he went through these parables, teaching, causing to stumble, all that stuff. Whoever is not against us, who is for us, because they saw people casting demons or delivering people out of demons and in the name of Jesus Christ. And they say, if they're doing it in my name, don't stop them. Don't do anything. And then he gets to this point, 49, at the end. Everyone will be salted with fire. Just imagine taking fire, how you can take fire and salt it to anyone. Again, this is maybe metaphorically or symbolic. Salt is good. Now change it. Because according to Jesus Christ says, everyone who salted with fire. Right? Fire is good. And I'm saying that wrong or no? Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. Fire is good. But if it loses or loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have fire among yourselves and be at peace with each other. So Jesus Christ is using here something more deep, and he say the fire is what is causing the salt, or is the salt, according to Scripture. So now the fire is good, according to what he's saying over here. He's saying this to get to this point to the disciples, and saying the fire is good. Now, if the fire is losing the purpose, because the purpose of the salt is to be salty, preserve, give flavor to the food. But then now that he's using the reference of the fire as a salt, he's saying, if he's losing that purpose, the purpose of the fire, the scripture says, have fire among yourself and be at peace with each other. Let the fire to be in yourself, so that way the peace come out of you. That will help us with the servant heart. Otherwise, how you can have it? if you don't have these interactions between us, those fires sometimes. Everything is beautiful and nice. No problems, no fire. There's no saltiness around us. There's no salt. So that's good. But according to Scripture, Jesus Christ says the fire is good. We need it because that will bring in peace in our relationships. Loving each other. Following the commandments. Like at the beginning in Psalm 119, 176. Seek your servant. I know the heart of a servant is here. Sorry, I went my pathway. I want to follow your commandments, which is loving each other and loving God with all your heart and with all your understanding and strength. So just God wants us to understand and have that servant mentality. And once again, I'm not talking about the church, but if you want to join us, please join us. It's just you as a servant in every aspect of your life, of Him. Being a servant of Him in every aspect of your life. Father God, we thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We declare in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you are the King, that you are the one leading us, showing us as an example how to be a servant. Any way you are putting us in different roles and positions in our life, we're going to continue having the heart, knowing and acknowledging that you are the one that we are serving. You are the one that we are serving. But we are serving you, serving others, loving others, helping others. Thank you for that blessing and opportunity that you are keeping us here alive, that we have our hands, our feet, our eyes, our health, because you want to bless and glorify your name with everything that we are doing. So we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we glorify your name. You are trustworthy. You are real. You are truth. You're not a liar. You're not those things from the human standards. You are God, our Creator. You are the one. We remove anything that is not from you, from our hearts and mind and life. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that anything that is not from you is out of our life in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. Thank you, Father God. In the name of your Son, amen.